When we study the Word of God as summarized in the Catechism in Lord's Day 38, on the fourth commandment, you can find that on page 554 of your Book of Praise. The fourth commandment is the one that says, honor the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And Lord's Day 38 asks the question, what does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that especially on the day of rest, I diligently attend the church of God to hear God's word, to use the sacraments, to call publicly upon the Lord, and to give Christian offerings to the poor. Second, that all the days of my life I rest from my evil works. Let the Lord work in me through his Holy Spirit, and so begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. After the ministry of the word, we'll sing from Psalm 103, stanzas 1 and 3. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, today we have come to the fourth commandment in the Catechism. And this commandment is one that is often viewed with suspicion by people who think that we are too conservative. Most of the other commandments are fairly straightforward. Something like, you shall not steal means, well, you shall not steal. It's not very complicated. But some Christians are confused about the fourth commandment. And their confusion is compounded by passages such as Colossians 2, verse 16, which says, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. And thanks to a misunderstanding of that text in the broader circles of evangelical Christianity, many believe that the Sabbath commandment does not apply to the Sunday anymore. So the day becomes less and less unique, and you find Christians, by and large, going to stores on Sunday, attending paid concerts, going out to restaurants, and in general treating it like just another day off. And if the playoffs happen to fall on Sunday during worship time, don't expect your church to be as full as it usually is. In the States, a lot of churches will actually cancel worship services on Super Bowl Sunday, or at least change the worship times so as to be able to accommodate those who want to see the big game. So how does the fourth commandment fit into all of this? Well, we can make it really complicated, but it basically boils down to one thing. It is a question of lordship. God the Lord is king, throned on cherubim, in the words of Psalm 99, the rhyme version then. And his lordship extends over all things, and that includes our time. And therefore also how we spend the Sunday. We can make these arguments very complex, and there's different evidences that you can bring to the front for and against, but in the end, it comes down to a very simple question. Does the lordship of Christ extend over how you spend your time, or does it not? And that question is bigger than the question of whether the Jewish Sabbath has translated into the Christian Sunday or not. So this afternoon, I want to summarize the sermon by saying that God calls me to honor the Sabbath. God calls me to honor the Sabbath, and that means two things. It means submit to God's lordship and give up on my lordship. So God calls me to honor the Sabbath, and that means that we submit to God's lordship and give up on our own lordship. So first of all, the Bible is clear that the Sabbath is a celebration of God's lordship. That's what it is. And his lordship here is his supreme power, his supreme rule over creation. God created the world, as it says in Genesis. He rules over it. And so Genesis 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing." So on the seventh day, he rested from all of his work. And his rest obviously has nothing to do with fatigue, but it is the rest of accomplishment, of standing back, of seeing that everything is done and that it ran perfectly. And that reminds us that originally, when the world was created perfect, and it was created by God. And he made sure that every 7 days, his people would take time to remember that. The Sabbath, you could say, marks his divine enthronement. It marks the point in time at which God stopped creating and began to rule. And that Sabbath, therefore, represents his kingship, his lordship. Exodus 20, verse 11, makes that connection when it says, "As 6 days you shall labor," or rather, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh day, therefore he blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Now, some people think that the word Sabbath means Saturday, and it actually does not. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew Shavat, which means to rest. So the discussion should not revolve around whether you observe the rest on Saturday or on Sunday. The discussion should revolve around, do you rest and what does that look like? And then the day that you do it on is a part of that discussion, but it's not the primary factor. So on the Sabbath day, we share in this rest of God, this accomplishment of God, the rest of completion and of celebration. And on that day of rest, we remember that it doesn't depend on us. Resting makes a statement, you know. You think about it, in a world full of people that are running back and forth like chickens with no heads, you get this group of people that every 7 days just sits back and rests. And that makes a statement. It shows that we are not slaves. We are not slaves to toil. We don't depend on our work for our ultimate well-being. We can celebrate the kingship of God over our lives, the lordship of God. And then one way that we celebrate that is by meeting with him in worship and in growing in our knowledge of him, which, by the way, is also an argument against spending your Sundays hiking. Sometimes you get people who say, "Well, I worship God in nature. I go hiking on Sunday instead of going to church." But actually, if celebrating lordship means worshiping God by growing in our knowledge of him, you need to be in church for that. That's pretty straightforward. And that's also why the Catechism makes the point that the ministry of the gospel in school should be maintained. Those schools originally were schools of theology. So church and seminary are places where people teach, are taught about God, and in church where they in turn teach others and they learn about God. It's about learning who God is and about celebrating God's fellowship with us in the sacraments in church. And it's also an opportunity to imitate God in giving, for example, in being gracious. And this is why we collect money for the needy. We imitate God by making it possible for the disadvantaged to have some stability, to have rest in their own lives, to relieve stress and worry, to bring order. Those things all tie into the Sunday. They all come out of celebrating his lordship over creation. And the lordship of Christ doesn't only extend over creation. It also shows in reclaiming creation, in redemption. God is a God who brought his people out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You find that thought back in the alternate version of the fourth commandment in Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, which says, "You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt. The Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So why do we keep the Sabbath day? Because of creation or because of redemption? Well, the Bible says both, because they're both examples of the lordship of God. And the Sabbath celebrates that expansion to his lordship, which is why the people had to celebrate the Sabbath in the desert. So the Old Testament Sabbath was a sign of God's lordship. He called his people to submit to his lordship, to show their submission by celebrating a weekly day of rest. And we still do that. But not on Saturday. We do it on the Sunday. The Sunday is a sign of the lordship of Jesus Christ. The Sunday celebrates the victory of Christ over death, his lordship over the grave. I mean, his lordship cannot possibly extend further than that. That covers everything. Not only is he Lord over heaven and earth, but even over life and death. And so the Sunday is even more festive than the Sabbath. We have even more to celebrate. And that's why the day of rest, as the day of celebration, is now on Sunday instead of on Saturday, because now we live out of the rest that Christ accomplished for us. We begin the week with a day of rest because we're living out of that rest that he's obtained for us. So the Sunday has become the Lord's Day. It does have a lot in common with the Sabbath, the Saturday, then the Sabbath rest observed as the Jews did it. It has a lot in common, but it's also something new, something different. And you see the same thing happen with Passover, right? Passover becomes the Lord's Supper. If you're going to say that the Sabbath should still be celebrated on Saturday, then you also need to say that we celebrate Passover instead of Lord's Supper. Now, sometimes people wonder, why did Jesus just not tell us clearly? But he didn't need to. He showed it. His presence on Sundays was enough. After the resurrection, he appeared to his disciples on different occasions, and he never does that on the Jewish Sabbath. That would have been logical to extend the range of the Sabbath, so to speak, but he never does that. He does it consistently on the Sunday. And so the early church figured out the rest on their own. Acts 20, verse 7 says, they gathered on the first day of the week to break bread, celebrating Lord's Supper. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2, Paul says that they have to collect money for the poor on the first day of the week. Revelation 1, verse 10, the Apostle John receives his vision on the Lord's Day, that is, on the Sunday. And it's also interesting that the book of Hebrews, which spends a lot of time talking about how parts of the Old Covenant are obsolete, it never talks about the Sabbath in that way. So the point is, the new day of rest is a Sunday. So what then do you do with texts such as Galatians 4, verse 10? Paul criticizes the Galatian Christians here for observing days and months and seasons and years. And evangelical Christians sometimes use that text and a couple of similar ones in other places to make the point that we don't need to observe the Sunday at all. But that's missing the point of the text. The point is, Jewish converts were still observing the Sabbath rest on Saturday and the Sunday. And the Gentiles were only observing the Sunday. And the Jews were saying to the Gentiles, you people need to observe the Sabbath Saturday too, because if you don't, you can't be saved. And Paul says that is completely wrong. And we should remember that as well, that the keeping of a particular day is not what saves you. What saves you is Jesus Christ. You're saved by grace in Jesus Christ. But then when God commands us to set aside a day of rest for worship, and the worship takes place on a Sunday, then we need to obey. We need to submit to his lordship. And that means giving up any pretensions to our own lordship, which is the second thing I wanted to talk about. The Israelites in our reading are a good example of the dangers of not submitting to the lordship of God. We read from Exodus chapter 16. This took place fairly early in the desert wanderings. God was still very patient with them at this point in time, but it was the beginning of a pattern of grumbling that ultimately ended in their death. And at its core, the basic issue was submission, the same thing we've been talking about. They did not want to submit to the lordship of God. He had proven his lordship to them. I mean, the whole reason they were in the desert was because of his lordship, because he had taken them out of the house of Egypt, out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. He'd proven himself to them, and they were completely dependent on him, as the manna reminded them, but they didn't want to acknowledge that. They didn't trust him. Take verse 19 from our reading, for example. Moses specifically told them, don't leave any of the manna until morning. There will be more the next day. And what do? They go out looking for it anyway. They didn't believe that God would take care of them. And they proved their unbelief by trying to take control of the situation, by hoarding food when he specifically told them not to. So there's a lack of submission here. Then on the Sabbath, the sixth day, they had another opportunity to show their submission to the lordship of God. They were told to gather double, because there would be none for the next day. And the point was to notice the difference between those 6 days of the week and the Sabbath. So they had an opportunity to show their submission to God's lordship by honoring the Sabbath, by not going out on that day. And what do? They go out anyway, because they didn't believe the word of God. They didn't trust his provision. They did not want to submit to his commandment. It's interesting, by the way, that verse 28, the Lord said to Moses, how long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? You see, this is about commandment. This is not a question of preference. How long will you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? And as an aside, in case anyone is wondering, why does Moses get blamed for this? The you is plural. How long will you Israelites refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? So what you have to understand is this is part of a pattern of not wanting to submit themselves to God. And in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul reminds us the Lord was not pleased with them. Most of their bodies ended up being scattered over the desert. These things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did, says Paul. And that same lack of faith comes later on. They show the same lack of faith when Jesus came. John chapter 6, right? People said to Jesus, what miraculous sign will you give us that we may see it and believe in you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate manna in the desert. What about you? What are you going to do, Jesus? In other words, what will you do to prove yourself? Prove yourself first, and then we will decide whether or not we want to believe in you on our terms. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. He says, I am the bread. You need to believe in me in order to be saved from your sins. And how do they respond? They grumble exactly like their forefathers did. They did not want to submit to his lordship. They did not want to accept his word. That's the real problem here. Not wanting to submit to God's lordship, not wanting to give up their own pretensions to lordship. And that brings it to us today. What about us today? I mean, these issues are very current. Every Sunday is a testimony to us of what Christ did. Every Sunday is a celebration of his resurrection. Every Sunday is an acknowledgement of his victory over sin, death, and the grave. Every Sunday is a reminder of his care over our lives. And so every Sunday we're put before a choice. Will we submit to the lordship of God? Will we prove that submission by honoring the day of rest? And I think we find that difficult. We generally see the sense in following the other nine commandments. It's pretty obvious. A society where people steal or where people kill each other is not a good place to live. We see the point behind those other nine commandments. But when it comes to the fourth, things are a little bit different. And part of it is a culture that we live in. You know, we live in a culture that really values time. This is what Westerners are known for when you go abroad. We are the people who are really particular about time. It's the one thing we guard jealously. We protect it. We feel that we should be able to spend it however we want. And precisely for that reason, honoring the day of rest is a testimony. First and foremost to ourselves. Every week we're reminded of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in a way that affects the whole day. But it's also testimony to the people around us, isn't it? And there was a time when you could drive around on Sunday and you could see that testimony everywhere. Every store was closed. Maybe some of you still remember the days when every store was closed, was quiet outside on Sunday, the churches were full, and those days are over. Many retailers find that Sunday is one of the busiest days. And for that reason, our testimony to the world, keeping the Sabbath, the Sunday, is more important than ever because we testify to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God calls me to honor the Sabbath, and that means submitting to God's Lordship, giving up on my own. But how do you do that? Some believers prefer to have a list of rules. They just want to be told what to do, and then they know as long as I stick with these rules, I'm safe. There's a certain comfort, of course, in knowing where the boundaries are, but it can easily lead to legalism. You can become so focused on these boundaries that you forget who they point to. This is the problem with all legalism. You get so focused on the boundaries that you begin to forget who they point to. And then the rules become an end in and of themselves. Then you think you've kept the Sabbath just because you didn't buy any groceries on Sunday. Well, that misses a point, doesn't it? If your version of Sabbath keeping revolves around what you didn't do, then where is the Lordship of Christ? Then you've lost your focus. Legalism can be dangerous. You can become enslaved to all of these rules, especially if there are too many of them. And then the rules become a new master, and then you submit to that master instead of to Christ. This is important for parents to remember. If you have done this, if your family has become a family that has so many rules, that those rules become the reason why you do what you do, then you've led your children away from the gospel. So parents, please remember that when you set rules for what is and is not allowed in your home on Sunday. And I want to say something to the kids here too. Not all of you have the same rules at home. In some homes, the parents don't allow their children to change out of their Sunday clothes. In other homes, the tie goes off as soon as the service is over. It just depends on the family. And maybe you find the rules that your parents have about the Sunday, you find those rules restrictive. You don't think that the rules are necessary for you to honor the Sabbath. So let me ask you a question. Who gave you your parents? Well, God did, of course. So what are you doing if you obey your parents? You are submitting to the Lordship of God. This is why the fourth commandment is right beside the fifth. So when you obey your parents, you're still honoring the fourth commandment, even if you think that in essence their rules are unnecessary. Now, maybe you're not convinced. Maybe you still don't think this has anything to do with the fourth commandment. But if you don't want to listen to them because of the fourth commandment, then at least listen because of the fifth. Do it for the sake of honoring your father and mother. Now, let me broach a topic that I know every school-age person thinks about: homework on Sunday. Is it okay for me to do homework on Sunday or not? Some people do, others don't. Let's begin by clearing up one thing. Homework is work. If it wasn't, it wouldn't be called homework. So if you do homework on the Sunday, you are working on the Sunday. You're breaking the Sabbath. It's pretty straightforward. Let's not fool ourselves. The same question applies here as it did to the Israelites in our reading from Exodus 16. Do we trust God's provision? Do we trust that God gives us enough time in the other 6 days of the week to do our work so that we don't have to do it on the seventh? Now, you might feel so overwhelmed by your homework that you feel you have no choice. In that case, I want to challenge you to try it anyway, starting in September when you're back in school. do what you can on Saturday, leave the rest, see what happens. And God will honor that. And I can tell you that from personal experience as well. As you celebrate the Lordship of Christ, you begin to understand that the Sabbath doesn't end on Sunday. If it's about Lordship, then all of life is redeemed. And then you begin to understand the deeper meaning behind the Sunday. The Lordship of Christ extends over all of life, and so in some way, every other day has a Sabbath flavor to it. We work because God calls us to, because he gives us talents and abilities to do it. But our ultimate well-being doesn't depend on our work. It depends on our faithful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we live out of the rest that he acquired for us, the rest of redemption. So all the days of my life, I can rest from my evil works, as the Catechism puts it. I'm not condemned to spend the rest of my days slaving away, bound by sin and misplaced desires. Christ redeemed me from that. And he's renewing me. He's changing my priorities. Every seventh day, I step back and I recalibrate my soul. And so the Lord works in me through his Holy Spirit. And so in this life, I begin the eternal Sabbath and look forward to the one that is to come. Amen.